This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
It's great to have as our guest today Declan McCullough. Declan is a longtime columnist for CNET.com. He's just started a new Wednesday column for CBSNews.com. He's also a libertarian and a world-renowned expert on issues of the internet, the police state, high-tech industries, and what's been happening, let's say, just in the last 8 years, to attacks on internet privacy and making use of the internet and various other high-tech tools for the benefit of the state as against our freedoms. So Declan, welcome, and talk to us about what's happening.
Why, thank you. It's good to be here. In terms of what's happening, I spent over 10 years in D.C. And then moved to the San Francisco Bay Area, where CNET is headquartered a few years ago, about 3 years ago. And so I've sort of seen it from within and more recently from without. And we have a situation where you have an executive branch that has claimed a great deal of power. This is not news, but it's kind of interesting to look at how that's happened in the wiretapping sense. There's a new book out by Barton Gellman that's been excerpted in the Washington Post last month, and it tells an extraordinary story. It fills in some of the details that we haven't really known about before, about how some of the warrantless wiretapping program worked, how President Bush was out of the loop, and how Vice President Cheney really seemed to be running the show.
You know, Declan, when I think about eavesdropping and political eavesdropping, I remember years ago meeting a guy who'd been an aide to Nelson Rockefeller, and he was sort of in his cups when he told me this story. But he said that when Rockefeller was first elected as governor of New York, I think this was in 1958, first thing he did was have the special squad from the state police wiretap the homes and the offices of everybody in the New York State Senate. And not surprisingly, he got his way from then on. So when I see how every single Democrat seemingly goes along, or almost every single Democrat, as well as, of course, the Republicans, go along with the bailouts and the wars and the expansions of the police state, I sometimes wonder if that might have been one of the purposes of this massive wiretapping campaign, so they can listen in on any potential opponents' thoughts and gain intimate knowledge of their life.
Well, this is what the FBI did in the past, and it's probably not too much a stretch to think that either it's happening now or it will happen soon. Let's look at what the FBI did. It subjected, along with other agencies, hundreds of thousands of law-abiding Americans to unlawful surveillance and illegal wiretaps and warrantless searches. I mean, this is decades ago, under J. Edgar Hoover's reign. Eleanor Roosevelt, Martin Luther King Jr., feminist, gay rights leaders, Catholic priests were spied on. The FBI used secret files and hidden microphones to blackmail the Kennedy brothers, sway the Supreme Court, influence presidential elections, and was not public knowledge at the time. It came to light decades later, and there are plenty of books out there, and this is all documented, and the Freedom of Information Act helped a lot. And so I'm wondering what's going to happen 10 or 20 years from now, when you have more information come out about what's been going on and the full extent of the warrantless wiretapping program. We have not heard all the details. They have not all become public yet.
I remember back to the Clinton administration when the conservatives, the Republicans, Rush Limbaugh and all those guys, were going absolutely bananas over the fact that, or the allegation, I guess it must have been true, that the Clinton administration had raw FBI files in the White House. Why this was an outrage. You can never have raw FBI files. You just have to have the official report from the FBI. Nobody should ever be able to look into these files. Then, of course, these people, when the change of parties in power, then Rush Limbaugh and the rest of them are for torture, for concentration camps, for rendition, for secret trials, and needless to say, for dossiers on every single person in this country being available to Bush and his regime in Washington.
Yeah. It is a shame that so few members of Congress really have the courage of their convictions. Maybe they just don't have convictions in this area at all and are unwilling to take on members of their own party when it comes to abuses of power and warrantless wiretapping and all that. Let's look at the case of Senator Jay Rockefeller, the West Virginia Democrat who currently heads the Senate Intelligence Committee. This is a case of a senator not even willing to take on the other party. Rockefeller and other congressional leaders of both parties were briefed on the warrantless wiretapping over a year before it became public through an article in the New York Times. I think it's fair to say they didn't have all the information, they were briefed on this, and they never raised public objections. Rockefeller never consulted an attorney. He never consulted other members of the committee, as far as we know, even though the Senate Intelligence Committee is officially charged, and I'm quoting from its website, with, quote, vigilant legislative oversight over the intelligence activities of the United States to ensure that such activities are in conformity with the Constitution and laws of the United States. And that's the end of that quote. Rockefeller just wrote a two-page handwritten letter to Cheney in 2003 saying that he has, quote, concerns, and then that's it. He just let it go. So now Rockefeller says, well, in the wake of an ABC News report and some other reports from NSA whistleblowers saying that they engage in widespread monitoring of innocuous telephone conversations, phone sex, American troops abroad, American journalists abroad, aid workers, and so on, who are calling home. Now Rockefeller says that, oh, I'll really look into this, when in fact he was briefed on this and did nothing except write a, I don't really like this very much, but that's all I'm going to do letter to Dick Cheney years ago. This is 5 years ago.
I remember in the early days of this administration, Gore Vidal always referred to it as the Cheney-Bush junta. Do you think that Cheney really has been in direct charge of all these sorts of matters? Or is it simply a matter that as the presidency has grown to such gargantuan proportions that the vice president is necessarily a just much more powerful office?
Maybe a little of both. I don't pretend to have a unique insight into the administration. This is a very secretive administration, much more so than the Clinton folks were, and they were probably more secretive than folks were a generation earlier. And I think that we'll have a better idea in retrospect once this administration is out of office and people are maybe more willing to talk and FOIA requests go through. The Department of Justice has been sitting on ones that I have pending for well over a year. Violation of the time frame that they're charged by statute in terms of responding to these requests. Let's go back to the warrantless wiretapping program again. Cheney's lawyer, David Addington, and the vice president himself were defending the surveillance program, they overruled concerns from the Department of Justice about the legality of it, and they came very close to sparking a mass Justice Department resignation that would have put Nixon's old Saturday Night Massacre to shame. This is including the FBI director resigning or threatening to resign. Bush didn't know any of this, and only when he found out that this mass resignation was going to happen in protest of planned renewal of the surveillance program, then and only then did his political radar kick in, and he backed down. But this is something that was run out of the vice president's office, and they came up with some very tortured legal memos saying, well, we think we can get away with it. And this is something that law students probably would have received failing grades if they turned in as a final exam, saying that this is where we have the authority. This was run by the vice president's office. I don't know if this is how this would change in either McCain or Obama administration. We have Sarah Palin saying that in the debate that she had a week or two ago that this is seems like a perfectly legitimate use of power. She's talking generally about what the vice president did, not specifically about the warrantless wiretapping program, but the endorsement is there.
Declan, I don't want to have you scoop yourself, but you want to tell us a little bit about what you're trying to find out from the Justice Department?
I have a bunch of FOIA requests pending, they're generally about electronic surveillance techniques that are in use, and it's pretty technical stuff. But it will be interesting, and I'll write an article for CNET once I actually get the documents, which might take quite a while. I mean, think of it: if you're the Department of Justice and you're the FBI, and you have a heck of a lot of money in your budget for internet eavesdropping and surveillance, you're going to want to come up with new surveillance devices, techniques, hardware, software, and that's along the lines of what I'm trying to find out.
And unfortunately, it doesn't seem to me, and I'm of course only going by public statements, it doesn't seem to me that if it is the Obama administration that they are any more privacy-oriented or rights-oriented than a McCain administration would be.
Well, it's hard to say. Let's look at the vote on telecommunications immunity earlier this year. I think it was in July. And when we asked Senator Obama, this was, I think, December of last year, for our 2008 Voters Guide, whether he supported, and I'm quoting from our Voters Guide question, giving phone companies retroactive immunity for any illicit cooperation with intelligence agencies or law enforcement. Basically, if AT&T or other companies open their networks to the NSA in violation of the law, should they be held liable? If there's some sort of authorization that lets them do this legally, then they would not be held liable. But if they just did, said to the Bush administration, probably Cheney's office, yes, we're going to open our networks, then they could be facing substantial damages in the form of lawsuits. Anyway, that was the question we asked in the Voters Guide. Obama said no, and we asked McCain that as well, and he said yes. Then we have in July the actual vote, and Obama flip-flopped on it. He changed his mind and said, well, actually, I guess we kind of have to reward these companies that violated the law, violated Americans' privacy, and he voted in the end to approve a bill that had that retroactive immunity. And so I guess the best thing you could say about McCain is that he supported this problematic proposal all along and didn't flip-flop.
Declan McCullough, thanks so much for being with us today. I want to remind everyone that Declan is a columnist for CNET.com and has a new Wednesday column with CBSNews.com. Declan, thanks so much.
Anytime.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.